Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, the program devoted to the most important and fastest growing segment of society. To those of you who have come to realize that all of the world's religious, political, economic, military, and media institutions are corrupt, and that all of these things have grown to be counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. If you would like to join us in this discussion of an ever-deteriorating world, our toll-free line is 877-376-45. In the story about how the Islamic State has become so popular, it now has franchises, I would like to remind our listeners that I told you emphatically that the moment Barack Hussein Obama asked for a declaration of war against the Islamic State, and even prior to that, when he decided that the slaying of a couple of Americans, a journalist and an aid worker, were justification for putting together a coalition to bomb the Islamic State. And the moment that he declared that the Islamic State was neither a state nor Islamic, that the primary consequence of that would be to popularize the Islamic State with Muslims. And that is precisely what has happened. You see, in Islam, the religion was conceived to be a criminal enterprise and to engage in jihad, plundering those that it was besieging. And so here is this religion predicated on fighting. And the world's military superpower acknowledges and publicly proclaims and demonstrates that they're a foe so substantial, it's worth spending $1 billion a day to bomb them, to declare war on them. And when you do that with a religion predicated upon fighting, upon belligerence, upon trying to use all manner of justifications for engaging in ruthless behavior, any provocation like that does nothing but rally people to the cause. And the reason we have a group of ordinary Islamic jihadists in Libya murdering, beheading Copt Christians there from Egypt is a direct result of all of this. They're just ordinary Muslims. They were just ordinary Christians. But the declaration of war has so justified the Islamic cause, which is born out of jihad fighting, that now any Muslim that commits an act of terror wants to claim that they're part of the Islamic State. It's very much like what happened in the wake of the United States declaring war on Al-Qaeda. Every Islamic jihadist, no matter where they live, no matter what their background had been in Islam, wanted to be part of Al-Qaeda because, well, the great Satan, America, was opposed to them. We're witnessing this now with the Islamic State. The smartest thing you can do with a bully is to walk away from them, to ignore them. You know, if you engage a person that is enraged, if you try to talk to a person that's enraged, if you try to negotiate with a person who's enraged, if you try to bully, push away the person who is prone to violence and enraged, they're going to lash back, and they're going to lash back in a way you're not going to like. Just ignore them. But if you want Islam to go away, If you want an end to all of this terror, ignore them. Stop doing business with them. Stop arming them. Stop fighting them. Stop engaging in their countries. Ignore them. Walk away from them. Yeah, sure, they'll still be enraged. But they'll only have their own to kill. Sure, they'll still kill. But they'll be back to killing with knives, sticks, and stones. The reason that Libya created a haven for mass murder and the decapitations of the 21 Copt Christians is that Egypt fell apart. Egypt fell apart as a result of the realization that it is only secular dictators that can keep Islam from creating a terrorist hellhole in any region that it affects. And so Mubarak was that ruthless, despicable dictator, as was Saddam Hussein, as was Muammar Gaddafi. And when they're gone, in their wake, in that vacuum, there's only one power, fundamentalist Islam. And it's vastly worse. So what we have in Libya now is nothing more than small sections of Libya carved up as terrorist fiefdoms for rival Islamic terrorist clubs. And in Egypt, what we have is a country that has gone back to draconian military-style dictatorship because when they were given a chance to choose, they chose the most fundamental Islamic government. And in the meantime, before, during, and now especially after, the Copt Christians, representing about 9% of Egypt's population, are being annihilated. Just as they were annihilated in Iraq. They have decreased in Iraq from nearly 2 million down to below 100,000. Total annihilation. This is what Islam does. They've done the same thing in Syria. And so the Copt Christians in Egypt can no longer find work because Muslims treat non-Muslims as if they have no rights whatsoever. And so they can't work. They can't feed their families. They went to the borders of Libya hoping just to find work, and that's where they were kidnapped and later beheaded. And the group called itself the Islamic State. Did it have any association with the Islamic State? No. Are there franchise papers? No. It's just that the name is spectacular if you're a jihadist. The Islamic State. They want to make the entire world the Islamic State. Well, this article that was presenting the location that all this was occurring says Libya has two rival governments, one based in Tripoli, the other in Tobruk. Meanwhile, the eastern city of Benghazi, headquarters of the 2011 revolution, is largely in the hands of Islamist fighters, some with links to Al-Qaeda. No, there's no one there with a link to Al-Qaeda other than they fought with the Taliban in the Great Jihad during the Jimmy Carter's miscue during the 70s and 80s. And then they fought the Great Jihad again in Afghanistan against George Bush's invasion. Then they fought the Great Jihad in Iraq. And then they fought the Great Jihad in Libya. Meanwhile, going back and forth, fighting the Great Jihad in Syria and Iraq. They have no links to Al-Qaeda. On Sunday, Italy closed its embassy in Tripoli, something America has long since done. Italy, the former colonial power, lies less than 500 miles from Libya at the shortest sea crossing point. The Italian Premier Renzi has been calling for the UN to intervene in Libya because thousands upon thousands of migrants are using the Libyan coast to flee the violence that is now enraging, engulfing, and flaming all of northern and central Africa. Since Barack Hussein Obama Barack Hussein Obama reset the stage, hit the reset button on Islam, calling Islam a great religion, telling Muslims this was their time to rise up. That is what we have seen. And as a result of that, the world is at war. On Sunday, President Sisi banned all travel to Libya by Egyptian citizens. Yeah, it's a dictatorship. We're going to put walls around our country. Despite the turmoil in Libya, thousands of Egyptians go to the country desperate for work. Before the killings, one of the jihadists from the Islamic State stood up holding a knife. And in a North American accented English said, "Oh, crusaders," that is a reference not only to Christians, but to Christians who try to, who invade and attack Muslims in lands controlled by Muslims. "Oh, crusaders" is a direct reference not just to Christians, but to Europeans and to America. "Safety for you will only be wishes, especially when you're fighting us all together. This is the delusion of Islam." You know, the Crusades were back in the 1100 CE, so at 900 years ago. It's the last war Muslims won. It wasn't even a war against armies, it was a war against elitist civilians that decided that they would go play religious zeal or religious zealot. But it was the last war that the Muslims won, and so they continue to reference it. 900 years is a long time since they've engaged in battle and won. But there is no unification in Christians fighting Islam. Most Christians are Roman Catholic. The Pope is doing everything in his power to embrace Islam. We'll be back. Welcome back to Shannon. This Islamic jihadist was quoted the Quran when he said, "Especially when you're fighting us all together, therefore we will fight you all together until the war lays down its burdens." And he said, Jesus, but it's actually in the Quran, Esau, "Peace be unto him, will descend, breaking the cross, killing the swine, and abolishing the jizya." That quote from the Quran. I should tell you that by declaring war on the Islamic State now thinks that they're in the final battle, where war will finally lay down its burdens because they will prevail. Muhammad was so stupid, he recast Yahusha, who he calls Esau, the person that God declares that he hates in the Torah, to be a Muslim. And they, and his attempt to predict the future, the wannabe prophet, Muhammad, said that when Esau returns, although Esau is long dead, that he will break the cross, even though there is no cross. The cross doesn't exist anywhere in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, nor even written out on any page of the first three centuries of Christian literature. Killing the swine means that their Esau, the Muslim Jesus, will kill the Jews. The Quran calls Jews swine. So, going to kill all the Jews, and then when all the Jews are gone and he has returned as a Muslim, then there will be no one other than Muslims in their warped view, and as a result, there'll be no one to torment and to abuse with the jizya tax, which is nothing but stealing to dehumanize anyone who isn't a Muslim in a Muslim-controlled area. Make no mistake, the mass murderers were Muslims. The motivation was their constitution, the Quran. We have Glenn on the line. Glenn, this is continuing to be a rather nasty affair.
Yes, I wanted to mention something about the Islam ISIS franchises. You can get one, but there is a minimum $2 million buy-in. The employees want $15 an hour, medical, dental, and one-on-one matching on the 401k.
Okay.
You know what
you get for the franchise? It's the same one that Muhammad promised the Arabs the Treaty the Pledge of Aqaba, where he said, here's the deal. And this is the franchise. It's been the franchise of Islam ever since Muhammad fled Mecca in shame following the satanic verses. You rob and steal for me to be part of my franchise. You plunder, brutalize people for me. We're going to play a game of lots, and you get to, we'll pick by lot who gets to pick the girl or woman to rape and in descending order. I get to pick first, and then whoever wins the lot gets to pick after me. You get to keep 80% of what you steal on one of these raids, and I get 20% as my franchise fee. And should you be killed in doing this, I promise that my God will give you a paradise that's filled with multiple virgins and rivers that flow with wine. That is the franchise. And I know you're being facetious, and it was funny, but that really is the essence of this franchise. And this franchise for the criminal enterprise that is Islam has not changed in 1,400 years.
Well, all things considered, I think I'll probably stick with Tex-Mex or casual dining or home delivery pizza, one of those, you know. Somehow I'm not so sure about that afterlife stuff, you know.
Anyway. Well, you know, I think that individual who is willing to believe that there is a God so disgusting that he would reward you with a paradise of perpetual virgins to rape, and all the booze that you could possibly consume as a reward for mass murder, for plunder. If you're that stupid, you know, I guess there's nothing we can do for you. And every Muslim who kills, every jihadist in the world, is that stupid. I don't think you can fix stupid. You know, there's a lot of things, Glenn, you can fix. Stupid isn't one of them. And to believe Muhammad, wicked may be one of them too. But to believe Muhammad, you have to be stupid. Welcome back to the Shattering Mess. Now, this quotation from the Quran that the jihadist from the franchise of the Islamic State read prior to beheading the 21 Christians in him. And he's small potatoes because Muhammad, in one day, set the bar. And I guess Muslims don't want to provoke their God or their wannabe prophet, one and the same, by besting him. You know, that would be to provoke the wrath of Allah. So the reason I think they probably only beheaded 21 Christians is that Muhammad set the bar at 900. Now those happen to be Jews, but you know, you do get extra bonus points for Jews in Islam, according to Muhammad. It's a doubling down on the virgins if you kill a Jew versus just a Christian or a pagan. But it is extraordinarily telling also that the Quran, which, you know, was spoken initially, but then ultimately written in a language that uses the Hebrew alphabet, that it would call Yahusha, which it could write because it's the Hebrew alphabet. So you can write Yahusha. That's why they call Jews, Yahud, in the Quran. They know Yah. No issue saying Yah. And so they could have easily written Yahusha. But you see, Muhammad was really stupid. He didn't know his name. And he was hoodwinked by the very rabbis that he was buying his religious verses from, according to the Quran, into believing that the Messiah was named Esau. You know, and Esau is the person that Yahweh calls out and says, you know, for having gone off and married one of Ishmael's daughters and having left the covenant, walked away from Israel, you are now hated and despised. And so the Quran, where, I know, it's written in an alphabet that's identical to Hebrew, could have written Yosha, has no excuse. And they present Esau as the name of Yosha. It is one of a million reasons that you have to be stupid, ignorant, to be a Muslim. And then they have him breaking the cross because Muhammad was too stupid to know there's no reference to a cross, not with Yosha, not with the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, not even in the so-called Christian New Testament. The word is steros in the Greek, and steros means upright pole. There's no cross.
Well, I think a lot of people will say that the Romans called it crucifixion. You know, given that the Romans were involved, they were, known for crucifying people, millions. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think the Romans would have referred to it as a crucifixion, which has the cruce, in it. So,
crucifixion, which is if you're going to deal with Yosha, Yosha does not embrace Roman traditions. He refers to Rome as the ultimate foe, the worst of all possible beasts. So, accepting as part of one's religion, associating it with Yahweh, an artifact of torture from Rome, doesn't get you anywhere with God. But beyond that, the implement of torture that the Romans used was absolutely not like the Christian cross. There would have been nails. Iron was so precious, so desirable. They would have never wasted it nailing a crossbeam to an upright pole. And so the way that they did this is that they put, and the wood was scarce too. They put the upright, and they cut into the rock or dirt a recess for the upright. It never moved. Mm-hmm. And the horizontal beam simply set atop of that post.
Right.
No nails. Totally reusable. All you do to fix the next victim is to lift it off the top, lay it back down on the ground, take one off, put another on. And, it's extraordinarily easy to do. Now, did they occasionally use nails for the worst of their victims that could be reusable for the feet and the hands? Yes, the Romans did that to the worst of their victims, but for the most part, you were tied with rope.
Right.
Yeah. So that's everything in the Quran. If you're half with it. I mean, if you're just the least bit curious, the least bit open to research, you're the least bit rational, you're going to reject Islam. It's like the three idiots that were killed because Muslims are typically belligerent. They ran into an atheist in North Carolina, and the atheist didn't like any religion. It had nothing to do with just Islam. He his Facebook site was an atheist that wanted to be free from religion. And here these three Muslims come dressed to the hilt in Muslim religious garb. His reaction to them would be the same as mine. Vile. Just disgusting. What's wrong with you? How could you be so ignorant to go play religious dress-up? And the Muslims would have looked at an atheist as an ignorant infidel to be abused. And the those two mentalities clashed, leaving the Muslims dead. You know?
Right.
Yeah, they both hated each other. There's no question about it. The atheist was disgusted by the religious dress-up. And the Muslims were disgusted by the atheist stance. I mean, I'm sure they accused him, as they do me, of being a Jew, of being a Christian, of being, you know, an Islamophobe and everything else. And, you know, and he said, yeah, I'll show you. I mean, they brought it on themselves.
Yeah, we have to address against it. Speaking of nomenclature, there's something I keep meaning to mention. ISIS. Okay, we all know about its connection to that name to, you know, the pagan fertility goddess. But if you also look at it, it's like is, and is in English is the third person singular of the verb to be. You know, he, she,
right.
is. Which, yet Yahweh's name is, you know, I am that I am. You know, you're above it. And, you know, it's just like, I am that I am versus is. I mean, I just keep always thinking of that, you know.
Yeah.
Yahweh is
yeah,
the great personal yeah. one. It's neither here nor there, but it just always jumps
yeah.
out at me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, of course, it's just happenstance. And you'll notice, by the way, that even when somebody writes it as as ISIS, I very seldom say ISIS because they were ISIS for a grand total of about 2 months, maybe a month.
And they were never ISIL. That was a Western
right.
academic.
Right.
Region.
Yeah, they were never ISIL.
And
right.
Yeah,
and they went from being they were the Islamic State in Iraq, and they were conceived as the Islamic State in Iraq, coterminous with the American invasion. When America invaded, and that led to so many deaths, both Shiite and Sunni Muslims, not together but independently, formed jihadist groups. An Islamic cleric, Ibrahim Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, formed one of those clerical Islamic religious groups, and he called his group the Islamic State of Iraq. It never had anything to do with Al-Qaeda, even though it's constantly called a former Al-Qaeda franchise. Never had anything to do with Al-Qaeda. There was no Al-Qaeda presence in Iraq when we invaded. And he just simply was one of the Sunnis who was not only trying to protect Sunnis from Shias, but also to attack Americans. And he was more focused on going after Shias than he was against Americans. And the primary militant groups in Iraq when we invaded were not Sunnis, they were Shias. You know,
and talk show hosts are equating all these factions and saying they're Al Qaeda.
No.
What they have in common is Islam. Not
right.
Al-Qaeda.
Right. And since the majority of the jihadists in Iraq that were killing Americans were Shia. And the Shia have no affiliation to Al-Qaeda, which is a Sunni organization. It's just total ignorance of the region, of Islam, of the war we're fighting now. And so here's the Islamic State of Iraq. They are put in a situation that they really had very little option. And I mean, they were really created by America's blunder. Because we gave a powerful military, paying for that military, training the operators and providing them with weapons, and the weapons of the military were exclusively Shia.
Right.
And they were controlled by the Iranians. And the Iranians, the reason that there was an Iraq-Iran war is the Iranians originally wanted the Shia in Iraq to revolt against the Sunnis. And now that the Shias in Iran control Iraq, they're not only doing the same thing, but now they're doing the same thing with American weapons, with an army that America built. And they used it against the Sunnis. And they began to use tanks and artillery and attack helicopters to bomb the Sunni communities, particularly places in the Anbar province like Fallujah. And so there was no army to thwart the Shia assault on Sunni Muslims. So al-Baghdadi turned his Islamic State of Iraq into a tool to thwart the Shia army of Iraq, wiping out Sunni Muslims. And when he did that, he all of a sudden went from being a small player to very substantial, because the awakening program that Petraeus and George Bush had put together, which was to arm and enrich Sunni warlords, that those Sunni warlords who were well up in the Saddam Hussein regime, financially and militarily and politically, joined him, became the core of the Islamic State. It's important, and I know you recognize this, Glenn, to appreciate how we got into this mess. Because if you don't know how we got into this mess, if you simply perpetuate the other lies, so like, as you say, so many other radio talk show hosts are doing, commentators are doing, saying all these guys are Al-Qaeda linked when none of them are Al-Qaeda linked. And they're actually came into existence because of rivalries between Sunni and Shia Islam and the miscalculations of America equipping the Shias, therefore the Iranians, to attack the Sunnis. And the Islamic State in Iraq emerged out of that conflict to protect Sunni Muslims from the Shia army that America had built. And when it started doing that, then the awakening program, the tribal warlords, as we referred to them, who were Sunnis, who were the higher-ups throughout the Saddam Hussein government, either in the military or in banking or in politics, in governance, joined them because they were fighting for their very lives, for the existence of their families, for their homes. And once they were united, so that you had the fundamentalist clerical jihadist of the Islamic State of Iraq united with the awakening program which America had armed, then they became very formidable. And what they were able to do is not just repulse the Iraqi aggression against them, the assaults on Sunni communities by the American-built Shia army. They took the fight right to them, and what they found is that, as is the case with Islam, Islam does not respond well to a straight-up battle. You know, look what's happened every time the team Islam, outnumbering the Jews 100-1, attacks Israel. They just melt away in a straight-up battle. They're not good at it. Their religion has conditioned them to attack the defenseless, to use terror, to do what Muhammad did throughout his career, which was to consistently badger, attack, and kill, rob, and rape defenseless civilians. And so when they began to prevail, all of a sudden now you've got, they have enormous swaths of territory because they've driven the Iraqi military back. And they have all that American weaponry that they've now captured, and they know how to use it because their ranks are filled with the awakening program personnel.
Right.
And when they did that, then they just continue to cut out a swath to protect Sunni Muslims from Shia Muslims, and then began to gradually take the battle to the Shia Muslims. That's exactly where we find ourselves. We created the problem in terms of this modern manifestation of it, but for God's sake, there is nothing we can do to eliminate the problem, particularly since I've not heard anybody in politics or governance or the military or in intelligence actually speak of how we got to this problem and who these belligerents are.
Well, one wonders when, people speak of the idea of having the best enemies money can buy. They allowed them to come out of Syria in that huge convoy and didn't touch it. Okay, and that too was all our transportation vehicles and the weaponry and everything else. There are those who say, hey, this is deliberate, and I got to wonder about the Frankenstein monster,
There is
a symbol that they think they can control when it comes time to control them,
I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and I do this part-time. I'm not paid to do this. I just do it part-time, and yet I'm able to figure it out. You're able to figure it out. I mean, you've got a real job, and yet you're able to figure it out. So you would assume that people that are given a $100 billion budget and the world's fastest supercomputers and all of the massive spy apparatus and are full-time dedicated spies and those in governance that are responsible for this, you would think, since it's their job, that they could figure it out.
Yeah, and so the Bland Corporation.
Haven't figured it out, then if they have figured it out, then you're right. Then they are literally playing Americans for fools in a very deadly game for the express purpose of being at war. Because they know when the nation is at war, that citizens give over their liberties, they sacrifice their money, and they cease to be critical, they empower their government. And perhaps they're just playing everyone for fools. But that's not good either.